so we are in constant battle between our glory and God's glory. And all over the world we hear preachers, and they're getting better and better and better, especially if they're from America. They're so focused on platform, so focused on delivery, so focused on polish, so focused on package, so focused on brand, that we've bought into that. And like, that's the standard. The standard is be polished, perfect slide, maybe even a touch screen I can stand next to and go tick tick like this, and so we can lean into it. And I'm not saying that as all of it is wrong, but I think the most important thing that I feel for Gospel Central Church is we as elders feel is that we wait on the Lord. Now, wait on the Lord doesn't mean we don't plan, we don't organize, and when chaos comes, it's the Lord's fault. Because that's easy. This morning, if I talk a bunch of rubbish for an hour long, then we say, Lord, it's your fault, because or either Marnie is deaf, or why did you make allow it to be like this? And so literally this morning, I had some sense of what God wants to talk about, but the weirdest thing, 1 o'clock I was awake, finally 1 o'clock, and I prepared this message between 1 o'clock and 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. And then like any normal human being, I went to bed for 2 hours just to recover. And so this is not, I'm not saying that to you so that you can think, yo, that's impressive. I'm saying that because we so often would say, we lean into the Lord, we wait upon the Lord, but then when it brings when it leads to discomfort, we have a problem. And before I even share what God is doing, what I believe God is doing in our region, a scripture is a theme, and you would hear, if you hear me a lot, you'll hear it almost always popping, is Numbers 9, 15 to 23, where it talks about, we're not going to read it, where it talks about Israel being following the cloud, the pillar of fire of the Lord. And if you look at that portion, if you look at the repeated themes in there, I'm going to summarize it for you. Because how you know what the portion is about, you see which words are repeated. The most repeated word is cloud. So it's all about His presence. And then the second most important word that is actually repeated is they did as the Lord commanded them. In other words, obedience. And then the third concept that is repeated more often than any other words is discomfort, because it explains, it says they followed the command of the Lord, the cloud. But then you would see, if you read, then they unpack it and they say, sometimes a day we stayed, sometimes 3 days, sometimes a week, sometimes a month, we could never anticipate. It was always sometimes we stopped the night, takes us right through the night to just get the 10 down, 6 million people, next morning we're going, boys. So I believe God is calling us as a church to follow where He goes, to follow His cloud, to be radical obedient to where He asks us to go, the cloud, at our own, at the risk of our own, or at the our own discomfort. Because it's so easy to say I'm going to follow, I'm radical obedient, but Lord, I'll tell you when I'm ready for that obedience. And so this morning, when I tell you the story of what I see God is doing in Gospel Central Church, can we keep that as a backdrop? Because this is not, whatever God is doing is not planned. It's not strategized. And I, by the way, for you that don't know me, I don't struggle with planning. I can plan, I can organize, I can strategize. I can stand in front of many whiteboards and plan. I'm not bad at it. I can do detail, I can do Excel spreadsheets, I can do to-do lists, I know how to run online collaboration software, project management, I understand those things. I understand goals, understand vision statements, mission statements, goals, and all those things. I understand it actually. I studied management, I studied leadership. Now I'm going to take everything I've said, I'm going to go like this, and I'm going to dunk. Forget what I've said. I've told you that just to show you that that's foolishness when compared to following Jesus. So if you think I impressed you right now, please take that glory away that you gave me and throw it. Just go like this. Okay? I hope you hear what I'm saying. So when we hear what God is doing, it's not based on me. It's not based on a leader. It's based on the King and what He pours out upon us. First of all, I want to quickly and maybe that's on a sort of a back foot. What's happening in Lilongwe, the congregation that we transitioned to Gospel Central Church many months ago, that congregation has not been able to grow enough. The leaders are leaving as we speak. Today is their last meeting. They are leaving the country. We were not able to replace them with other leaders. I cannot share the details. I'll be here 10 years. And we in the Lord, probably 10, 20 elders been involved, people from outside of our church that's given input. So for now, that congregation meeting in Lilongwe is going to be put on pause. In other words, we're going to just have a WhatsApp group. There are things that we think the Lord is guiding and leading us into. And then we will continue with our congregation in Lilongwe. And I know you were waiting that the first thing I'm going to say is like, yes, somebody gave us $10 million. But it's the Lord's move. We don't understand it. We have never paused or let a congregation come to an end in 17 years that we've led. But we do believe it's the Lord. And maybe it's a messed up way to start a message, because you need to start on that there. So that's the one thing that's happening. The second thing is the Lord. What's the Lord doing? The second thing is in a place called Marondera, Zimbabwe. We transitioned that church and basically started leading that congregation since September last year. September last year, when we started as Gospel Central Church being involved in Zimbabwe, the church had 30 people in there. 30 people meeting, and it was going down, and some people were in the process of leaving. As we stand now, there are weekly over 100, 110, 120 people meeting in the building. Plus, there's a community of 30 that's meeting on a farm about 40 k's away. Plus, there's a whole community from Harare traveling through every week. 30 people that come through to Marondera with a leader that was an elder in a previous church that we are preparing and we shaping and equipping him so that we can plant a church back into our Harare, possibly towards the end of this year. Then a few weeks ago, we went there. Yeah, please do that, because maybe this is, I thought this is good news. Thank you, Tonga. Thank you. Tonga thinks it's good news. And so Yanku went to preach there. Yanku's gift is not evangelism. It's not evangelism. So there's a reason I'm saying that, because normally it's the evangelist. He's not an evangelist. It's not his primary gift. That's not with the guys that move in sign and wonders. That is where the box goes. So he preaches a sermon about the outpouring of his spirit, and they invited people who wants to wants to be baptized in the Spirit, wants to an extra portion of the Spirit to come upon them, and then also separate. I think you prayed for people to be prayed in tongues for as well. And he turned around and says, "Who wants to come?" And they turn around. Young, the guy that leads the church, Anton, turns around, and as he looked back, the whole congregation is in the front with five people sitting. And apart from all the stuff that's happening there, a lady, Tracy Kloppers, stands in the front. She's had knee problems for a very long time. Since she was a teenager. She goes, "Oh, my knee healed. Miraculously. Miraculously. Her knee is healed." And I think in this past week, there was another lady. I think it's this week or the week before, another lady that also came to the front during worship. She couldn't bend down. She couldn't go on her knees. It's not Tracy, it's another one, I think. She couldn't bend down to worship for her who knows where. And she says, "Lord, please." Boom. Supernaturally, God heals her. It's almost in moments like this you want to go, hold on. Can I just not just first pray for them? So at least I can say I prayed for them. And I want to trust the Lord that kind of thing will be so normal that we're almost like, "Oh, okay, the Lord is still moving." But that these will not be just sort of moments here and there on the peripherals. And so God is busy doing something very spiritual or very significant in Marondera. We are ordaining next weekend. We are ordaining two new elders there. And then we will have 3 elders plus the other elder that's prepared for the farming community. That will be 4 elders. Then the ones that are going back to Harare, that's 5 elders. Now, it's not about elders. But you know, leaders in the church, and when God raises leaders up, it's a sign that God wants to do something. Because leaders are what God uses to pivot the kingdom forward. They are important. They are of particular importance, but they're not the most important. So when we see God raising leaders, we know He's up to something. So next week, and we're gonna pray into that at the end of the meeting, at the end of my message. We're gonna pray into that because all the elders in the region are meeting. There's like 26, I think, different elders, also from churches from outside of Gospel Central Church, gathering with us as Gospel Central Church elders are gathering. And it's men only, traveling all the way to Marandera this week coming, and the idea is to be equipped to see what God is doing. But some of them are actually literally looking in and saying, Lord, we see something is happening in Gospel Central Church. We want to know, we want to see what this is about. There's no strategy again. There's no little recipe again. It's the Lord is moving. So, cool. Yeah, that's him. Thank you. And then what we're also going to do, Ketwe right in the north. And I'm going to talk about that. There's things that has happened in Ketwe, and I'm going to talk about that later. But we as a church, this congregation in McKinney, wants to start doing outreaches to Ketwe congregation at least once a month. That's a congregation that's small, it's struggling to get out of the blocks. They've had lots of challenges they have faced recently, and we as a church, this is the congregation with the most momentum, and simple as that. And we need to understand, outreach does not mean we're going to go there and we're going to do 7 crusades and somebody is going to shout from a stage and we're going to do door to door, knock on the door necessarily. It means we're going to go as a family, and we're going to go and love that family. We're going to support that family. We're going to come and blow wind in their sails on a Sunday. We're going to stay in their homes. We're going to pray for them. And we're going to trust God that collectively, as we are gathered, because we're one body, that God will pour out His Spirit amongst us. And how many of you, who's been on an outreach before? And can you remember that it blessed you more than it blessed the guys going? You're almost like, did it even help them? But my word, did it change me? Can you attest to that? There's something that happens in your heart. You go and you think like, I'm going to bless them. And then you come back and you are blessed and you are stretched and your faith is built. So can you start? Janku will give more details. Can you start saving into that? Speak to us. Even if it's 2 weeks short and you know you need another 30, 40 kwacha to go, come and speak to us and say, hey man, can you not advance me the 40 kwacha? I'll give it to you 2 weeks later, but I want to go and I don't want to miss out on this kind of thing. So can we do that? Even if we have to do a bit of fundraising here and there, and we need to walk down this road and sell chocolates to the people standing in a queue so that we can go, whatever it takes short of sin. Correct? Cool. All good for that? Anything short of sin. Even if you have to do a prophetic dance and people throw money. I'm joking. Okay. Can we quickly put the website one? Our website is alive again. Some of you feature there. Go and check, because some of your pictures might be on the website. Mine, I didn't make it. Probably they saw the face and they thought they would frighten people if my face is somewhere there, but some of your faces are there. And that's our website is live now, so you can send people to the website, gospelcentral.church, and there they will find what we value, what's important to us as a church. You'll find what we believe, where we meet, various places we meet, how you can give. You know, in that moment when your neighbor takes out his wallet and you empty it for them in the collection box, that will help you to do that. And so there's places, how you can give across the region, the details in our Zim congregation as well as in our Malawi congregation. So have a look at it, send people to it. It'll give them a good feel who we are about, and tell a little bit about our story. Then the next thing. What's happening? What God's doing? Tonga, can you help me out? When I say something exciting, will you help everybody? Will you just show them, stand up and say, guys, 1, 2, 3. Woo! Can you do that? can you do it? Thank you. Thanks, Tonga. There's one excited guy in the midst, and I miss. Thank you, Tonga. In Marondera, on top of this, on top of what God is doing in such a short space of time, we're moving to the, we're on a 2-hectare plot there that we've been offered to buy. We're not buying it yet, but the option is there for us to buy it, and there are plans in place. It's too much detail to share, but it actually is quite possible for us to actually buy the 2-hectare plot. It's massive. Anton, the guys that are leading, are staying on the property. There's a main old-fashioned Dutch Reformed church standing. We're going to move from that into the hall. And this hall that we're moving into, they've already built a coffee shop onto it so that we can get more people on. And that project was like this launched, and it's paid for. And we're in the final stages of actually opening the coffee shop that leads into the main building. Yeah. And for those that are uninformed, you might say, man, I'm glad I'm in this church. This is a wealthy church. You're right. We know Jesus, and he's very wealthy. Because please don't read into it. Don't read into it that we have a millionaire in our midst that you don't know about, we've never told you, and that he's just pouring money. No. All these things are happening. We call normal saints with normal incomes, with normal faith, and the faith that God's given us have come collectively, and they're pouring into this. I've never heard of a church worldwide historically ever going into the more that God's got for them based on Elon Musk's thousands or on Trevor Noah's millions or whatever. It's always the people coming together. And then the second thing, Chisamba, this one, I'm going to be more cryptic because we're almost there, but... I just represented the congregation, guys here with the elders in Chisamba. We just went to go and look at a property just on the other side of the toll gate. 12 hectares given to the church. The lady wants to do the paperwork. 12 hectares. I'm not joking. 12 hectares. And it's 100 meters from, it's on the roadside. And there's already bungalows in place. We need renovations, bungalows in place, youth camps, men's camps. Yeah. And ladies, you could go and have tea there. Yeah. Ladies, if that sounded very sexist, I apologize. Men, this is, ladies can go there for retreats while the men look after the children. Yeah. Clap to me. So that there's a swimming pool, there's a facility where the church and Chisamba can meet on it, and there's significant amount of development already with needs reparations and needs refurbishing and all that. Ensuite bungalows, I think there's 5 or 6 already ready with a bathroom, ensuite, nice and neat, grass covered. So pray, we're going to give time to pray in the end. Pray that that will come to a conclusion. We can officially say that belongs to us. That's a game changer on a scale of 1,000 to 0. How much did we anticipate that? 0. And then Kitwe. In Kitwe, we're doing a few renovations so that we can just let the property look more attractive to draw people, because people are drawn to something like looks nice and neat and inviting. So we're doing a bit of renovations there, small scale, but nonetheless we're doing renovations in Kitwe. And then the last one, Blantyre, maybe I have told you, we last year December bought, I think it's quarter hectare of property in Blantyre with the purpose of building a congregation in Blantyre. We're currently meeting at a venue, and that we want to do in the future. That might look quite different. It's a long reason why we had to do it. The Kwacha, one of the reasons is the Kwacha is massively devaluating all the time in Malawi. Yeah, please Lord, not this Kwacha. In Malawi, and we had to actually sooner rather than later purchase land to secure our finances so that our finances don't devalue. So that played a big role into buying the land, and it was a short turnaround, in buying the land. It's secured. We have the title deeds and everything. Then to McKinney. Can you put the McKinney picture up for me, please? So that we're planning a raised roof. Show the other picture, please. Raised roof. This is from this side. Don't worry, the grass is not as green as it looks here. And there's a swimming pool gate around, but it doesn't matter. The idea is that we are going to renovate this property, and we've run out of space, and we would love to meet as one people again. Now we can fit if we all squeeze in. In America, this is a 100-seater. In Africa, it's a 200-seater. Because we're not scared to sit close to each other. But we want to extend this space into a 400-seater to make more space, to it being facilitate more gathering across the region for certain strategic events. We are not in the game of as soon as it's 400, then it's going to become 600, then 800. Let's have a mega church. We ain't going that route. We don't want to get to a place, even that number, we have to work hard. We don't want family to become numbers, where you just become a number when you come here. So the first phase, because obviously we're in the process of raising the funds, and we're trusting that you will take your neighbor's wallet and empty it every Sunday in the collection box when they come. They won't give you your banking. They won't give their bank logging details. They're very stingy to you. But nonetheless, that we should start trusting God and say, Lord, how can I contribute towards it? And you can start giving into it and say, Lord, call it building. But remember now, when we give into things like this, it's not our opportunity to say what happens with our tithing. Tithing goes into the collection box. This is above our tithing. It's called offerings. It's called offerings. We give above our tithe, and we say, man, we're going to go without this month, and we're going to start pouring into it, because this is not a project where we've got $200,000 in the bank already. This is probably a project that's going to cost about $120,000-$140,000. But God has been faithful. We bought this property for $360,000, and we only are outstanding $110,000. Do you understand how much money that is? God has done an incredible thing, and he can continue doing it. So I want you to start trusting the Lord. The first thing we're going to do in the next couple of weeks is we're going to break that wall out. Then we're going to level on the outside. We're going to level there. Just going to put a cement platform, because that's phase one. And we're going to put a temporary enclosure just with roof sheets, so you can open and close it for security purposes. Yep, open it on a Sunday with a shade net across, so we can add another 60, 50 people there. And then we're going to start gathering as one people again. The two congregations are going to be one congregation. But that's phase one, so we can add the extra 50, 60. And then if we see, because the most money will go into lifting the roof and getting and breaking this out and moving that way. And then we probably will break that wall out and do the same thing that side, so that we can start meeting on a building site, which excites us and gives us vision. And then we're going to trust the Lord that He's going to supply, and He's going to make a way. And then we're going to lift the roof, put air cons in, all those kind of things. And we obviously, like any guy leading, hope that we can do it quickly. That we're not going to, for 3 years or 5 years, be in a building project. But that we will see that this is not about our comfort, but it's so that we can reach the nations with the kingdom. And we need to remind ourselves of that the whole time. Cool. You need to start inviting your friends. Don't invite them all yet, because we won't fit in. No, all jokes aside, we will literally on a Sunday open that. It'll be a shade cloth. At this stage, we have a tent in Marondera that we inherited with the church. So there's a tent coming this side, a 200-seater tent. So you don't know this. We have a 200-seater tent as well. That we possibly are going to try to put up here, so you might sit in a tent. So you might be the tent church and the normal church this side. Okay, all in one. Who's done 10 church before? Excellent. So you're going to volunteer for 10 church. All the 10 people sitting there. So that's some of the exciting things that I believe God is doing. And we're going to, instead of hoping that somebody very wealthy comes, throw the money in and there we go, we're going to also say, Lord, I don't have a lot of money, but I have time on a Saturday. And I can come and help with a work party, and come and help, and I've got a I've got something that there's some rubble that we collected at the back behind, and we're going to now have to get it all from here to make it landfill this side. Uncle Marnie, I don't have money, but I can give 6-7 hours of my time. I can carry a wheelbarrow and I can move 20 wheelbarrows and throw it down there, and then I can go and do about my things. And you will one day, you will receive your rewards that you contributed to this building. And maybe what you did, all you did, was 7 wheelbarrows to the landfill. That's what it takes. Something small. And so you might say, I've got some extra bricks. I've got metal lying around. Come and fetch it. And I want to trust the Lord that with all that collection, that we would be able to do an incredible thing that exceeds our even wildest dreams. Cool? Okay, just we clap them. Something that in my preparation and as the Lord was speaking to me, I'm just reminded again of this scripture in Ephesians 3:10. I have, in the last while, I thought I was always so focused on the importance of the local church and how central it should be to our being, of our walk with God. But I am every single day more convinced that, and the words of Bill Hybels, the church is the hope of the world. And that we should actually tweak our lives around the church. I think it's the center, it's God's body. And yes, many of us have been burned, many of us have been hurt, so I understand it comes with baggage, but that doesn't take the truth away. And Ephesians 3 verse 10 says the following. It says, God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display His wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. So that's His purpose, through the local church. And then it says, and I can't unpack it more. So his desire is that through the local church, the manifold wisdom of who and what He is will be displayed. In 1 Timothy 3:14 it says, this is the church of the living God, which is the pillar and foundation of the truth. Now you would say, well, it should actually read, this is Jesus, which is the pillar and foundation of the truth. That's also true. But it's actually the pillar and foundation of the truth is Jesus through His local church. That's how it's on display. That's how it works itself out. Through the local church. Through you this morning putting the coffee out. Through you this morning being an incredibly friendly church. From you this morning taking a risk and dancing around this place. From you this morning just being happy. Just saying, man, this is so free. That's how this plays itself out. And then Acts 9:4 is actually for me the most powerful one. It says, it's Paul on the road to Damascus, busy persecuting the church. He wants to get rid of this new sect that has started recently in Jerusalem, an offshoot of Judaism. He says, he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It's like, Jesus, are you confused or something? I'm persecuting the church. Do you understand? Jesus equates persecution of the church to persecuting Him. And so we need to understand that this church thing is not an addendum to your walk with Jesus. You do not have a walk with Jesus outside of the local church. Sorry, you don't. Somebody says, well, I love Jesus, but I struggle with church. I say, well, okay, I won't say it, but you are schizophrenic. I won't say it, but I do think it. It's like you're missing. Are you believing a decapitated God? Where the body is decapitated from his body, the head is decapitated from the body, but actually it plays itself out in the body. And therefore, also as far as we see in Scripture, I'm not worried about how other people see in Scripture, but what we see in Scripture, we go hard after doing things the way God shows in His Word. Other people, if you see it different, it's okay. I'm not other people. We these people. And we say, Lord, we want to do things what we see. And we want to see, we want to look, what is the pattern? How should we do it? Because, again, I don't have all the time in the world to show you that God is very particular how we do things. He nearly killed Moses just because he didn't want to circumcise his son. His chosen one to rescue Israel. He killed guys that did it good, that wanted to be genuine. Have you heard people say, have we heard this word? We excuse people and we say, oh, but they're genuine, or they're sincere, or they're nice people. These nice, sincere, genuine people, when the Ark of the Covenant was carried and it had a bit of a stumble, and they just put their hands against it so that it doesn't fall. So genuine, so sweet, nice people. They really tried to help out. God struck them dead because they didn't follow God's pattern. Oh, Marnie, that's Old Testament. No. Ananias and Sapphira, that's New Testament. Just for lying to the Holy Spirit. Don't worry, I'm not trying to get fear in you, but fear is a good motivator. Acts 25 verse 8 says, have the Lord of Israel build me a holy sanctuary so I can live among them. You must build this tabernacle, church, that you can read in there. You must build this tabernacle and its furnishings exactly according to the pattern I will show you. And as if we do things according to God's pattern, I believe we invite His presence in our midst. This is not a recipe, guys. This is scripture. God, this is not a recipe. It's like, if we do things God's way, we will have God results. Be careful now, because we can say, well, what's the recipe? Is it three songs this morning? Then we went into a fourth one, then one dance around, then another song, then we do... No, we didn't write that down. We didn't script that. It's not a strategy. But we can follow God's pattern for His church. If we say, oh Lord, what does it look like? What is it particular that you're looking for so that your presence can dwell amongst us? And we see that the tabernacle had very specific ways of building it. And then we see later on God's, before that, God's instruction to build Noah's Ark. Very particular instructions. In fact, more time is spent in telling us how to do that than the rest of the story. We get to the Ark of the Covenant, lots of chapters used just to explain how it needs to look in detail instead of move the narrative along. Then we get to the temple. Let the narrative move on. A temple where Israel will meet and God's presence will be. Same again. Stop. Lots of detail. And through that, God is telling us that when it comes to the New Testament church, which is the New Testament temple, that actually, why would it now suddenly change? And we need to remind ourselves what God has done in the past was. That's why I started telling you what God has done so far. Do you know what a modern person, this is how we approach the future. We look and we want to see the 5-year plan, the 2-year plan, the 1-year plan, the goals, all, and that's how, because we want to see it, because we don't have to trust God, because we've got our plans in place. An ancient person, a person of the Bible, an Old Testament person, do you know how they walk forward? This is how they walk forward. Why do I say that? Look in scripture how many times it says to remember. It says to remember all over the place. Remember what the Lord has done. Remember when you struggle. Remember when you struggle to trust. When you struggle to believe how God's going to do this. Why did I tell you about the $360,000? Because I leaned into that. Because I remember what the Lord has done. I've seen what He's done the last 2 years. Renovations on top of bringing our debt down. From a church that have always struggled financially the first 15 years. Couldn't pay their staff on time. Remember what the Lord of God has done. Remember what the Lord has done for you in the past. Remember those that have gone before. Our ancestors that broke open. Our followers, our ancestors that were believers of Christ. Some of them were incredible men and women of God. And because of that, you're sitting here today. You're walking in the fullness. You're walking in the fruit of that. And so that brings me to a place where we want to attract God's presence in our midst, and we want to do things according to God's way and not our own way, not a man structure, not an organization, as much as we're getting bigger and bigger and we're part of a bigger field of churches called 412. We don't want to be an organization. We want to be an interconnected partnership of churches with Gospel Central Church being a partnership of churches that are just within the bigger partnership of churches that are working closer together, specifically in a region, so that working and organizing ourselves and partnering together so that we can pool resources, and that's finances and people and abilities, so that we can reach people for the kingdom. And as we do things according to God's pattern, that we will attract His presence, and His presence, like we've seen in Morondera, His manifest presence will actually be poured out amongst us. And it takes me to a scripture I want to read for us now. And one thing we need to understand is when we look at scripture, and I have to summarize scripture for you, the whole Bible in four words, it's this: creation, fall, redemption, restoration. How it started in creation, the fall happening, redeeming through Christ, redemption through Christ, what He's done, the life He's lived, then restoration, which is basically a restoration to how it was right in the beginning. Okay? New heaven and new earth. And we are called to be partnering with God in that. And so another way to summarize the narrative of Scripture is this: God calls us out of, not just to be called out for nothing, into we are called out as a people so that we can worship Him at the mountain. That's basically summary of Scripture as well. And so many of us get stuck at called out of, and in Africa we have been enslaved in many ways, in this continent, many other continents, and we've come out and God set us free from slavery. But sometimes when we've had a hard life and life is tough, sometimes all we want is just to be set free. And that's where it stops. Jesus is Savior. But then Jesus is not just Savior, He's also Lord. So we are saved out of, for worship. And that's the part we cut ourselves short. We just, let's rescue, but now we get rescued out of, cross the river, out of the Red Sea, so that we can worship Him. Where do we worship Him? At the mountain. What's another name for the mountain? Temple. Temple structures are a representation of mountains in Scripture. So where you see mountains, you know it's talking about where heaven and earth meets, His presence. And then when you see places where mountains are tents are mentioned, or Ark of the Covenant are mentioned, or the Ark is mentioned, or temple is mentioned, is basically a similar picture that they want to put in your, the Bible writers want to put in your minds and say, where heaven and earth meets. So now that brings us to a place where literally this is what it's saying. When we surrender ourselves, posture and position ourselves, separate ourselves, pause, wait for the Lord, follow Him only, do things exactly the way He's called us to, we invite heaven and earth meeting. Where does heaven and earth meet? Here. What's another name for that? Church. What's another name for it? Jesus. Jesus' manifest presence through His body, us. You get what I'm saying? Where heaven and earth meets is another, it's just Jesus. That's Jesus brings those two dimensions together through His local church. So as we posture ourselves and we wait and we say, Lord, come, we invite His presence to be in our midst. You and I being the temple of the Holy Spirit. We know the Scripture. But for us to do that requires for us to separate ourselves. Leads me to sort of the last portion of my message where I want to land. And that is that we are called, if we want God's presence to be in our midst, we're called to be separated for Him, which is another way of saying we need to be holy. So everywhere in Scripture where you see people, or the writers of the Scriptures want to emphasize something, they will repeat something. They will say, verily, verily, I say unto you. Heard that? Or, Peter, Peter. And when a word is repeated twice, it's basically for emphasis, to say, this is important. Only once or is a word repeated three times. Only once. And that word is holy, holy, holy. So what do you think the writers are trying to tell us? Revelation 4:8 says, each of these living beings had six wings, and their wings were covered all over with eyes inside and out. Day after day and night after night, they keep on saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, the one who always was, who is, and who is still to come. 1 Peter 1:15 says, but now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. He's calling us as a church to greater holiness. He's calling us out of our Egypt, out of our bondage, so that we will worship Him at the mountain. In other words, so that we will worship Him, I'm going to simplify it a bit, so that we will worship Him as a collective of living stones, church, represented in a local context like this, so that we will meet Him at the mountain, where His presence, where heaven and earth will come together, with His presence. And as we do that, who, and then the question that is raised as we want to ascend the mountain throughout scripture is, who can ascend the mountain? Who can be in His presence? Because that's the question. As we get to the mountain, we left with this question, who can ascend the mountain? And God says in Psalm 24, He says, who is of clean hands? He who is holy. And if we are followers of Jesus, He is holy. Therefore, because He is holy and He's gone before us, as we surrender ourselves and He becomes Lord, He goes before us. He pays the price. He does what we cannot do. He lived the life we cannot live. He died the death we should have died. And because of that, we can now enter the Holy of Holies. We can now be holy because He is holy. In ourselves we cannot be holy, because if we desire to be holy and we put lots of things in places, these are the 10 things I'm going to do to be holy, it leads to legalism. But it's because of You gone before us, Jesus, we lean into You, we trust in You. Help us to separate ourselves from the things of this world. Brings me to my next point. Greater, more practical applications, and then I'm done. Two scriptures and we're done. In Ephesians 5:27, it says the following. It says, He did this to, talking about the church. Jesus died on a cross. Why did He die on a cross? He did this to present her to Himself as a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. Guys, what we do here is more important than anything else in your life. It's a serious statement. I mean it. Us as a collective, us as a church, it's big deal. It should be what our life should be about. And so, as we as a gospel-centered church are becoming more healthy and healthy and leaning into the Lord and say, Lord, how? What's the things we need to change? What's the things we need to leave behind? What's the things we need to die to? What's the things that we need to, preferences and comforts that we need to leave behind? As we do that, what will happen? Have any of you had a boil before? If you do this, your parents will say not to do it, but anyway. You go like this, what happens? If it's a big one, and you push hard, stay out of the way because it will pop. And if it's big and it's a serious one, it will pop seriously, correct? So in Gospel Central Church, we've experienced a few pops. Because God is requiring more of us. As we lean into Him and say, Lord, we want to do things Your way. And so a few weeks ago, Yanku spoke about the fact that we needed to step elder down from responsibility. Who was here when we talked about Patrick Kitzman, that we had to say, you cannot be a leader in the house yet, or not anymore, because you are disqualified. I'm disqualified because God normally starts with the leaders. It's not a different category for holiness. It's not a different category for requirements and responsibilities. And God's and Yanko explained it well. And if you need to know more detail, come and speak to us. But there are things in his life that did not qualify him to continue leading God's people. That's a boil that popped. And we said that it was a redemptive moment because God is a redeeming God. He's a loving God. He disciplines those he loves. We said that. This is not punitive. This is not we reject you. This is not when we do these kind of things. We apply church discipline in the life of the church, which is part of being a healthy church. If your parents don't discipline you, I will say to you, you don't live in a healthy family. I will tell you that. I would say if you and your wife don't sometimes have a difference and you sit and talk about it and correct one another, which is in some way a disciplinary moment where you sort of correct one another, I would say, you say, oh no, we just always get along. I'd say, well, you either disillusioned or illusioner, whatever your English words you want to find, but it tells me there's something wrong if you've never fought or never had an argument or a difference. And it's a similar picture, but we do it so that God can redeem us from our sinfulness, so that he can take us into the more. And so we spoke about Patrick, and you can go and listen to this. And so this morning we also have to tell you about yet another case, and it's painful. And I wish I can abdicate, or we can abdicate leadership when it comes to moments like this, because it's painful, because it's one of ours. And so what happened a few weeks ago, one of our leaders, J.T. Kukumur, fell into sin in the area of purity. He committed it, and he found out, literally contacted me a few hours, 2-3 hours later, and confessed it. And he's subsequently submitted himself to the eldership. And he is being restored as we start walking with him and counsel and help him along and coming alongside him. And we have definitely not rejected him. I've literally told the leaders, you better well phone JT as many times as you can. Spend time with him on the phone if you're not there. Even the guy Patrick that God is busy restoring and sorting out things, he actually was an hour on the phone with JT 2 days ago. Isn't it beautiful? Isn't it beautiful? I'm still in contact. Most of us are still in contact with Patrick. We're still in contact with JT very much. In fact, that's why I flew to Kitwe to short notice, go to Kitwe last week to go and announce it to the church and deal with it. And I stayed with JT and Nicole, because they're not now another category of follower of Jesus. However, they have to go through this process because we want to come to a place where we a church that would not be known as a church that is okay with people that want to live in habitual sin. This is the church to come to when you want to live in habitual sin, unrepentant, not bringing to the light. This is not the church to come to. I'm gonna smile when I say this. I would, if you one of those that live in the dark, habitually sinning, knowing that is not what God requires from you, and you are unrepentant, you're not willing to change, I want to tell you, God's doing in this church, you should probably either repent, bring it to the light, or find another church. Because I'm saying it for your sake, self-preservation here, because I can tell you one thing, you ain't going to survive in the presence of God. He's a holy God. Just like you, the closer you move to the sun, the sun, S-O-N, and the S-U-N, I don't think it's accidentally that you almost spelled them the same. The closer you move to the sun, the more impurities will have to go. And I would implore you to come and speak to us. And know, it's only when it's leaders, because it's public, it's a public office, that we will publicly speak about it. We are not going to march you to the front and say, they told us on Thursday, just want to tell you, this guy's an ex-murderer. Please pray for him. That is not what's going to happen. What, however, we would have to do from time to time, and it is going to be done, I think, this morning in one of our congregations. In one of our congregations, a man and his girlfriend were visiting us, and they have fallen into sin, and he has impregnated her. And so now it started looking public. You can see it. So we can't just leave it at that, because you can see it. And if we just leave it at that and say, don't see anything. What we're saying, because we are also light to the world, we're ambassador to Christ, fragrance to the world. People come in numbers. They see somebody sitting together. They're in a relationship. They're not married. But we see that he's impregnated the girl. You can see it. You don't have to guess it. So we need to speak up. And we are speaking up this morning. We're not sorting them out in front of. We say, hey guys, and it's a couple, literally, this is how we're going to do it. I was involved yesterday in preparing the documents and everything, so I know exactly what's going to happen. We bring them to the front. They agree to this. We told them why. We don't know where they are in terms of are they a follower or not, possibly, but they have regularly visited us. As I said, they consider themselves as part of us. So we're standing in front and say, couple, so and so, A and B, want to stand before you this morning and acknowledge the fact that we have sinned. We have sinned against God and to His church. Yes. And we want to ask your forgiveness. We repent of our sin. The elders are walking with them. And we want to bring them to restoration. We want to pray for them. Hopefully they'll meet Jesus. And that will lead in the future to marriage. Because we said we cannot bless that marriage. We can't, not at this stage, because we don't even know if they're born again. So we first step is, let's walk a road with you so that it can in the future lead to marriage. Because as a church, we can't marry unsaved people. So we did it in a redemptive way. They agreed with it. And this is actually what we're saying. I would want to stand in front of them and say, so now, we will not gossip about this. We will not go around and say, this church, they are a very liberal bunch. They are fine for sin in this church. If you want to come to a church where your sin is excused, come to this one. And so please, do not gossip. Don't have things to say. Come to the elders. If you need to know more details, but you need to explain to me why would you need more details. And then I want to ask you, can you run to the front and come and hug them? Not because she's saying it's okay what you've done. We say, thank you for doing that. We want to love you, help you, come alongside you, care for you, not reject you, and we will do whatever it takes to restore you to Christ. It's not a moment of shame, because Christ absorbed our shame on the cross. It's not a shameful moment. If this was not public, if her tummy wasn't showing, we would probably not have come publicly with it. We would have gone, if it's a sin, we would have worked with it privately and helped them through it without making it public. It's public because you can see it public. Does it make sense? So don't think that if you are walking in a sin, and it's a sin that you can't see publicly. We're going to say, we're going to have an excuse for everyone to bring them to the front. No. It's not how it works. We're not a punitive community. We're a loving community. But love means you before me. Love does not mean we overlook sin. We just look the other way. But it's say we run towards the junk. You sitting here, every one of you here has got junk. And we want to say, bring your junk. Come with your junk. And we want to help you to get rid of your junk. To be redeemed. To be set free so that you can walk, worship God in abundance in His presence, so that His Spirit can be working in and through you. Cool? And that's basically what I wanted to say, and it's taken me a long time, but couldn't say it in a shorter way. I want to ask us to quickly, as we end our time, to pray into these four things about the properties and the development that we're happening. I want to pray into the outreaches that are happening. I ask Auntie Jennifer to come to the front. And as she prays, can we all vocally agree with that? Like, yes, Lord, do it, Lord. We're not going to listen to her prayer. We're going to participate in her prayer. And then we're going to ask Kavui to pray into the elders' time that's coming in May. Can I ask somebody to pray into the theme of holiness and His presence and trusting the Lord for that? Patricia, can Auntie Patricia, where is she? I'm going to ask her to come and pray for that. Properties, who's got the faith for that? I want somebody with faith to pray into that. If you have faith, who is it? I don't want somebody that's like, this property thing is, it's okay. You? Yeah, thought so. So, come. No, I saw you nodding your head. Come, you can start. You pray and then come, guys, we participate. Can we stand? And I want us, we're participating. She's just leading us. That's all this lady is doing. So property, then outreach. And I don't know who's gonna lead us in the holy. Auntie Patricia. Okay, go for it.
Lord, we want to thank you so much for bringing us together today, Lord. And we just want to bring the property renovations to you across the whole of Africa. Wherever we go, Lord, we bring these property renovations and buildings to you.
Yeah.
We know that you are faithful.
Yeah.
We know that because we are being faithful to you, that you will make sure that the funds are supplied, the materials are supplied, and that you are a physical God. You're not just a spiritual God.
Yeah,
you
good,
are
man.
Physical.
It's good.
You will supply for us physically what we need to be able to continue your work. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, thank you, Lord.
Father God, we thank you that what you deposit in us as your children, we are not like the Dead Sea, where we keep everything. You deposited in us good news. And
it's
if
good.
Something is good news, we share it.
Yeah, it's
you
good.
Scream it to anyone you find.
Yes, Lord.
So, Father, we pray as we reach out, outreach, lead us to those that need to be reached out to.
Yeah.
Lead us, oh Lord, whether it's one-on-one, whether it's a team to go to Kitwe, touch each one of us to have that desire.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, you equip those who desire to do it. So create in us a desire to reach out, and then you give the resources after. So create in us a desire to share this good news. How good is it, Lord? It depends on how we want to share it out. It's like that parable that you've reminded me, Lord, that those who receive little will be grateful for little. Those who know how much it has taken to bring us to where we are will be eager to reach out and share that. So may you impart in us that desire to reach out. And especially the planned one in Kitwe for each one of us, may you create that desire now and plan ahead for that and another outreach. And we pray for the leadership as they go around, Lord, to do ministry. May you go ahead of them and may that light so shine to the world that they all want to have part of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Auntie Patricia.
Lord, we thank you that you're building your church. Indeed, it grieves our hearts to hear of a sin among our brother. Oh God, we are so grieved to hear what has happened indeed to our brother JT, and our hearts and our minds go out to him and his family. Oh Lord, may you be especially close, oh Lord, to his wife, especially that she's in the family way, oh Lord. May you strengthen her. May you, give her joy and peace that passes all human understanding in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you that indeed in the process of building your church, it is difficult, Father. It is messy. Just as we are beginning the renovation of this building, Lord, there will be things that will be broken. And we know that when your church is being built, there are certain parts of our lives that will be broken. And it cannot be easy, Lord. It is painful. And so, Lord, we pray that you may continue to do your work in us, that you search our hearts and know us, that test us and see if there be any wicked ways in us, and lead us on the righteous way, on the righteous path. Help us, Lord, as your people, to be vulnerable, to be open to each other, O Lord Almighty, to indeed remember and realize that we are human and we are bound to fall and to falter. Help us to be vulnerable, to share our lives with one another, O Lord, to eat meals together, to just know each other more, and to walk together, O Lord Almighty, that indeed we may be built up, O Lord, for that is your desire, Father, that indeed we may be one, even as you and the Father are one. Help us, O Lord, to walk together, to walk as one, O Lord Almighty, to not live in hiding, O Lord Almighty, but to be vulnerable, O Lord Almighty, and to show each other who we really are, O Lord, so that indeed we can help each other along the way. For that is what you call us, O Lord, to do, to walk together. Help us, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, Father, we thank you so much for the elders that you've given us in Gospel Central Church. We thank you for all that you're doing, and how you're building, and yes, and we thank you for all the wonderful testimonies that we've heard. And Lord, we pray that as they'll be meeting together next week, that your presence will be with them, that you would protect them as they travel to and from Zim, that everything that needs to happen with logistics and planning, that your spirit will lead and guide. Pray that nothing will be done out of their own strength or wisdom or knowledge, but in each and everything, in the small things, in the big things, and everything in between, that you would be with them, Lord, that they would learn how to rest in you, they would learn how to follow the cloud, and that your presence will be with them from start to finish, even in the planning, your presence would be there. Even in the traveling, your presence would be there. And we just pray that they would come back refreshed and clear with where you want them to go and how you want them to lead. Amen.
Amen.